Hello, welcome to another episode of the Product Powerhouse podcast. Today, I am really excited to share with you an interview I did with the incredible Chantal Dimsey. Chantal is just so amazing. So she is an award-winning mindset and confidence coach, an NLP expert and master hypnotherapist, known for her transformative impact in the field of confidence and personal development. She is passionately dedicated to empowering both men and women to overcome their challenges and unlock their highest levels of confidence. Now, during this episode, Chantal really surprised me. I had some incredible takeaways, like doing the interview with her, that just kind of shifted my perspective. So I'm really excited to have you listen to this episode. I hope you have some great takeaways, some action steps to help you break through maybe some confidence issues or build up your confidence. I feel like confidence is always something that we can improve. So let's go ahead and take a listen. Hi, Chantal. Thank you so much for being here on the podcast today. How are you today?
I'm brilliant. Thank you so much for having me, Erin. It's such a pleasure.
I am so excited to chat with you today. I have never had, I don't think, a mindset and confidence coach on the podcast. So I think this will be a really great conversation for everyone listening. So why don't we start by telling everyone who you are and what you do?
Yes, brilliant. So my name is Chantal Dimsey. I am a mindset and confidence coach. I am based in the south of England, but I am originally half French, half Spanish. I have been literally obsessed with the subconscious mind and mindset and all things to do with mind for many years. In fact, as far as I can remember, in teenage years, I was already like that. And I have three children aged 10 to 14, 15. And I run my business. I've run it for a few years now. I absolutely love it. And I help men and women go from basically self-doubt to confidence.
I don't think there's anyone in the world who's not thinking, I need this. Even yeah. I have tons of self-doubt every day. And I feel like a lot of the listeners here probably have that too, just because it's like human nature. Like I think society kind of pushes on us to doubt ourselves maybe. So This is really fascinating. So today we're going to talk about how to stop doubting ourselves and how to create unshakable self-confidence, which I think is just like the idea of that, like makes me a little bit like giddy inside. I can't imagine being that confident. Like, where do we start? How do you get to this point?
So great question. Yes. Where do you start? I would say, Erin, the first thing is to believe that you can. And this is literally the first step of the process. And I can confidently promise you that you can. If you experience self-doubt, anxiety, even if you experience it all the time constantly, I absolutely promise you that you can overcome it completely. This is not something that you have to learn to live with. It is something that you can completely overcome. And that is not to say that you'll never experience self-doubt or anxiety again. That of course you will, because there's always in points, not something that you experience all the time. Of course, there's a difference between doubting yourself all the time or very frequently, or just having a moment of doubt every now and again. So yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. But yeah, the first thing is to really believe that you can, and I can absolutely assure you that you can. And don't take my word for it. Look around everybody, people you might have come in contact with, and I'm sure you could think of somebody at least who used to be quite anxious and doubting themselves a lot and who has become very confident. So just to evidence that, think about who you know and people you've come in contact with.
Yeah, that's very true. Is this something that have you gone through this transformation yourself? Is this something that you did yourself before becoming a teacher?
Yes, it's probably more self-doubt than anxiety. But yes, I had a huge imposter syndrome on two occasions, actually, at different times of my life. And I have gone through a few phases where my confidence was very low. And yes, I have gone through all the processes. And I really empathize. And when my clients come to me and talk to me about things, it really resonates. And of course, having experienced it myself, I want it even more for them, because, and also because I know it's possible.
That's something that
really helps make it more believable if the person you're learning from can share their personal experience. So I think it just helps connect me personally with whoever I'm learning from, whoever I'm talking to, if they share their personal experience. So thank you for sharing that. So part of this is accessing the power of the subconscious mind. I really feel like I don't even know where to begin with that. Can you explain this concept of accessing the subconscious mind?
Yes, of course, Erin. Yes. So you've got two parts, two minds, if you like. You've got your conscious mind, which is your awareness. So you're aware that you're speaking to me right now. And if I bring your attention to the plant behind you, then you'll become aware of that. And then you've got your subconscious mind, which is the kind of like the warehouse at the back of. So if the conscious mind is the shop front, the subconscious mind is the warehouse at the back of your mind where all your memories and your wants, your needs, your habits are stored. And what happens is, when you consciously, for example, when you learn to walk, you consciously take a step and then another, and you're very aware of what you're doing. You're really focusing on what you're doing consciously. But once you start to make a habit of it and it becomes something that you know how to do, then that habit then gets stored in the subconscious mind. It gets stored in the warehouse. And then you never think about it again. As you're walking, you never really think anymore, oh, I'm putting one foot in front of the next and so on. And it's the same for eating. When you're a baby, you miss your mouth all the time until you really, and you have to focus. And it's the same for driving and so on. And habits, which are habits of thoughts, like thought cycles, thought patterns, and feelings are very similar. They work in a very similar way. At some point, usually as a child, you start to have anxiety or anxious thoughts. And then the more you have these thoughts, the more you start getting used to it. And then it becomes a pattern and it becomes a habit. And then it goes into a program in the subconscious mind. It's very difficult to fight it consciously. You actually can fight it, but it's difficult to fight it because even though you might think, right, today I'm going to stop doubting myself and I'm going to be really confident. Even you consciously saying that doesn't affect how you actually feel because that anxiety, that self-doubt is a program that is held in the subconscious mind. But there's ways to get around that and remove the program. And one of the ways is to do a number of things consciously, which is to building confidence consciously, which I can give a couple of examples in a minute. And another way is to use subconscious techniques, for example, neuro-linguistic programming or hypnotherapy, which are things that I use, for example, and they go straight into the warehouse and then go and find where the program is and remove it and then replace it with a confidence program, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was thinking, I laughed when you were talking about how we learn to eat and put food in our mouth, but I still miss my mouth quite a bit. It's just, you're right. Like you don't start thinking about those things. Like we don't think about breathing. We don't think about blinking. We don't think about scratching our arm when it itches. And all of those are things that are just in our minds that we don't even realize. And so I really understand what you're saying is starting to believe in yourself so much that it just becomes part of the habits that you don't even have to think about anymore. And my next question I think is like, I will be completely honest and tell you, like, I am someone who doubts myself nonstop. So how do you get from that to truly believing in yourself? What are the actions that you have to take?
Yes. So you have to change your perspective. So consciously, some of the things you can do are start to notice all the good things about yourself because, I want to say 10 things at once. I'll just focus on this one. So the first thing you can do, focus on all the good things about yourself. And one very simple thing, every day, notice three things that you do well, three wins, three things that you have done that you're proud of, three things that you would say thank you to somebody else for doing. So this is one thing you can do that is a practical thing you can do. And what happened? And if you can, write them down. I ideally write them down because writing them down always imprints it further in the mind. And also imagine in 6 months' time when you have 6 months worth of three wins a day, you'll have a book full of evidence of your greatness. So when you feel a bit low, then you can refer back to that. But what that also does is that it starts to create a habit of noticing what is good about you and what you're good at, what your wins are, what your strengths are, and all of these things, rather than noticing, which I bet many listeners will do, and many people do, is noticing all the your shortfalls, your negatives, all the things that you do wrong, and all of these things, and then blame yourselves for it, and then be disappointed about it, and all of these things. So it's about really switching that perspective and getting the mind to pick up, to create a habit, if you like, of noticing what's good about you. And then the other thing I will say, again, as a kind of a practical thing that, you know, you can start doing, is see yourself as a as like your best friend almost. Have a relationship with yourself with as you would with a friend. And I'll give you an example to give some context to it, Erin. When you meet somebody, and like somebody who might become your friend, I don't know, somebody moves down the road and you think, oh, similar situation. So when you meet somebody, if that person always does what he or she says that they're going to do, and always turns up when they say they're going to turn up, and does the things they say they're going to do, and they're reliable, you're going to start trusting them, right? So you'll feel confidence in them. You'll have confidence in them. You'll trust them. But reversely, if they never do what they say they're going to do, and they never turn up on time, or they never turn up when they say, then you'll start to not trust them and you'll doubt them. And the relationship with yourself is very similar. So when you set yourself goals and then you give up, then that really lowers your confidence. And so one quick way is to set yourself some really small, achievable, realistic goals, and then ideally every day or every week, and then reach them. Do everything you can to reach them. And they can be really small goals. It can be, I don't know, this week I'm going to go to the gym at least once, and then do it. And every time you do what you say you're going to do, then you're building that trust in yourself. And the more trust you have in yourself, the more confidence, and the more confidence, the less doubt. So anxiety and self-doubt and confidence, they go together, because hypothetically, if you were 100% fully confident, you wouldn't experience self-doubt or anxiety, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. That's a really great way of thinking about it. And I love how actionable those things are. Like, you can write down three good things. That is totally doable. And thinking of a very small, achievable goal. Like, a lot of times we're like, I need to go to the gym every single day. But you're also a mom of two who has a full-time job. That's not really always realistic. So having something that is realistic is a big shift, maybe. Like, sometimes we set goals where we think we have to really work towards getting them, instead of what's something I actually can achieve.
Yes, exactly. And then notice it when you achieve it. Notice it and literally tap yourself in the back.
Celebrating those wins, that's a big one too. Yeah, that's something I've always tried to remember. And I'll be honest, in the last few months, I've gotten away from that. Like, even celebrating the small wins. Okay, maybe you didn't go to the gym 5 times, but you did go 3 times, and or you didn't miss any. I go to a fitness class 3 times a week. So if I didn't miss any days that month, that's a really big win for me, or even a small win, but I don't always recognize those.
Yes, absolutely. And as a mom, one win literally can be, I didn't lose my mind today with the kids. I was going to say another word, but I thought I better not. But yeah, or it can be, I kept them alive today. Today was hard, but I've managed today. I stay strong and I didn't yell or whatever. That's not every day, of course. But these are things that as well can be wins. It doesn't have to be something crazy. It can be something really small. It can be a friend needed me and I really comforted that person today. Or it can be, I helped an old lady cross the road. Or it can be, and of course, if you're confident, if your lack of confidence or your self-doubt is specifically towards, let's say, your business, or a lot of people, a lot of my clients experience a lot of presentation anxiety with public speaking and presentations and things like that. So you can maybe focus a bit more your 3 wins a day towards those kind of things.
Yeah, I think that's where I tend to see my self-doubt too in business. Oh, a real example, last month, I think I had 5 or 6 fantastic discovery calls. Like, they all were really good connections, and all of those people have disappeared. Like, I have not heard from one of them. And that just causes so much doubt. It's funny because they were all virtual appointments, but I'm like, did I smell bad? Okay. They couldn't smell me. So it is important to distinguish where you see that self-doubt and where you see that as a mom. of course, I have bad days and I have self-doubt there too. But I would say that I feel more confident as a mom than I do as a business owner.
Yeah.
Most of the time. But, and I know a lot of people feel differently. I also think it's like my personality type, but yeah, I think it's important to see where those different aspects of your life.
Yes.
And maybe even you can lean on that. So even if I do feel more confident as a mother than I do in my business, maybe how can I like borrow some of that confidence in my business? Like that might be part of it.
Yes. And I love that you said that, Erin, because exactly and spot on, it is a transferable skill. It's the feeling that you have. The feeling that you have very much depends on the thoughts that you have. So mm-hmm. as you feel in the example that you gave, where you had this cause and then nothing came out of it, you can tap into that confidence that you feel as a mom, particularly, let's say you've had a great day with the kids. You can tap into that to give you the feeling. So you literally you move your mind and your thoughts into that feeling of being a great mom that you feel at that time, to that same feeling. And then you just change the thoughts to go with it of you're actually also a very successful and very great business owner. And then you can then following that, changing the feeling first rather than changing the thought first, you can then push that train of thought towards things like the universe will bring you the clients that are meant to work with you. And also, as sometimes you might have calls with people, but actually nothing might come out of it, but something might come out of it in 6 months. There are a lot of people that are stalking you in silence, but admiring you from afar, and then will become clients at some point. So it's not like an immediate thing, is it? So I think it's just about bringing that train of thought. But sometimes you can change the feeling first and then bring the thought with it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yes. And you know what's funny? I have had the situation where somebody like had a discovery call and then came back 3 years later.
Oh, wow. 3 years.
Or maybe 2 years. Yeah. Yeah. So you're right. You're right.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And I think we think that we can't change the way we think or we feel, but we can. It's just about training it. And the more you do it the easier it becomes. But I'll give you an example. You might not be able to control the first thought, which comes from the subconscious mind. So let's say the self-doubt thought or the anxious thought, but you can control the second thought. Because if I ask you to look at this marker pen and you can tell me what color it is, tell me about it, Erin. What can you see?
It is hot pink.
Yes. So it's pink and it's like a highlighter pen, right? And
yeah.
It's about the size of it. It's about the size of my hand and so on. So now you're thinking, what are you thinking about?
The pen.
That's it. So yeah. You've made yourself think of the pen. So you can make yourself think of something. And you might still feel anxious if your first thought was anxiety, let's say. You might mm-hmm. still feel anxious, but you're forcing that connection. In other words, if you start feeling anxious, then swap your thought to something else. And that thought can be something that you feel really confident in, something that you've maybe the wins for today, or maybe the best day of your life, or a place where you feel really safe, or something else. And yes, your feeling might not change right now, but as you do that several times and time again, it will start to change.
Yeah. I'm having this idea. So right before our podcast interview started, I did a Q&A call in my community, and I love Q&A calls, and I haven't done one in forever. And I've admitted I haven't had good confidence. I've been really doubting myself, but having done that Q&A call, now I have a little bit of a high from that. And I'm thinking this would be a good time to write down a few of these wins and like how I'm feeling now so that I can remember this when I am having that self-doubt, because it's really easy to forget what this feels like when things feel tough.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah. And you know what, actually, Erin, you can almost anchor in that feeling, that high that you're talking about. You could, this is a little technique. Here's a little technique for you. You can anchor it into a song. And so if there's a song that you feel that really, you feel the buzz for, a song that really energizes you, that kind of song that you hear and you just want to go and dance. So that song, when you feel like that, listen to that song and then over and over again. So a few times, let's say 8 to 10 times, it doesn't have to be right now, or immediately, but you can listen to it over the course of a couple of days, 8 to 10 times whilst feeling like this. And maybe if you do a bit this evening, you do a bit tomorrow, you won't feel that high, but you can start thinking about the call again. And as you're thinking about the call and all, the buzz will come back at least a little bit. So then what you're doing is you're anchoring in that feeling to that song. And then when you need that buzz again, just either play the song or hum it in your mind and it will come back. This is a way to anchor in an association in your brain.
That is fascinating. That is such a great idea. I love that.
Yes, because we all have a song like that. Most people have a song that when you hear it, oh, it reminds you of when I was 20, this happened, or that person, or you, it automatically. So you can create that connection yourself. You can anchor it in.
You can also do the opposite. There was a song that I listened to like when I was in labor with my daughter, like I just played it on repeat. And so now I get a little bit of anxiety when I hear that song.
Oh my gosh, you've got PTSD.
But yeah, that is such a great idea. I love that. How practical. And just, I was not expecting such a delightful little idea. So thank you so much.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like it, Sharon.
Yeah. This has been such a fascinating talk. And like the world of like what you do and everything that you help people through is so fascinating. Can you explain how you work with clients?
Yes, of course. So again, typically my clients will come to me with feelings, anxious, self-doubting themselves, whether it is for generally or in a particular situation, like typically presentation anxiety, public speaking, all these kind of things. So I would spend some time again doing some more traditional coaching, which is really empowering them. So that they believe, they really truly believe that they can become really confident, which they can. And then we do all sorts of things, looking at limiting beliefs and doing all sorts of things around their achievements and exploring their self-worth, what their triggers might be, and all of these kind of things. And then we go deep, really. We go into a lot of subconscious mind work. And the reason for that is because, like we were talking, these programs, these habits are stored in the subconscious mind. And a very fast and rapid way to get rid of self-doubt and anxiety is go into the subconscious mind directly, speak its language. And its language is imagination. So there's a lot of kind of visualizations and things like that. So NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, is absolutely amazing at it. It's very effective. It creates some incredible shifts almost overnight. In fact, without the almost, I've had many shifts overnight. And then I would use a lot of NLP, and I would also use, if people are open for it, I would use hypnotherapy, which again is like literally like magic. It reprograms, it rewires, and it brings so much confidence. It's almost as if you forget to feel anxious. It's a really interesting experience. But yes, after you've had, generally speaking, after the hypnotherapy, you have the edge off and you feel more confident, you feel less anxious. And then, so yeah, typically the first half of the program will be about empowering and getting rid of the problem. And then the second half will be building confidence. So again, I'm generalizing, but right. this would be it.
Yeah, that's really cool. And so you have different programs and different areas where you can coach in. So you have a 6-week one-on-one coaching program, right?
Yes.
Is that the main way that people come in and work with you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's literally, I also have a longer program and a one session, but the 6-week one is, yeah, literally the transformative program. Mm-hmm. And that's how I work with most people. And so it would take 6 weeks to go from self-doubt to confidence. And it's always, one-to-one.
That's really cool. Before we end this, is there any, I feel like you've given us such actionable tips that I don't want to ask my normal, what's the one thing you would tell people to get started? So I feel like, is there any one thing people misunderstand about what you do? Or is there any kind of misconceptions that you have to work that people come in thinking one thing and then you work through it?
I would say probably the biggest misconception is that I can't control my thoughts and feelings. And I know it because I used to believe that I can't help how I think. But you can. And these are the things that the program can learn, where you learn in the program how to. But also, in the background, we do the deep work to, but yeah, so the misconception is you, I can't control my thoughts. Yes, you can. And again, the example is think of a pink elephant now. So now you're thinking of a pink elephant. So you can control your thoughts. You can direct your thoughts. Even if you might not be able to control the first thought, but you can control the second one. And then you can control how you act following it.
Thank you so much, Chantel. This has been so fascinating. Why don't you tell everyone where is the best place that they can hang out with you and find you and get more information about working with you?
Yes. So my website, chantaldempsey.com. It's chantaldempsey.com. I'm also on Instagram and LinkedIn. And yeah, I love to hear questions. So if anybody has any questions, I love to hear them. And yeah, just there's loads of ways to contact me through my website. So.
Perfect. And I will make sure that your Instagram, your website, and your LinkedIn are linked to the show notes and the blog post that accompanies this episode. So I just want to thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing with us such actionable takeaways. Like I keep using that word, but that's something that I really value. And I've always tried to provide in the podcast and all the content I do is like, how can I implement this and not just think about it? And so I feel like you've really given us some ways to start. Even if we're not ready for coaching, we can still do this. So I really appreciate your time and your knowledge here today.
Oh, no, it's my absolute pleasure, Erin. Thank you so, so much for having me. I'm really, yeah, I'm like starstruck to be there with you. So thank you. Thank you. Really. Oh,
gosh. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Product Powerhouse podcast. It means so much to me that you take the time out of your day to listen to this podcast. It's my favorite thing to create, and I am so grateful that you've taken the time to listen. If you enjoyed this podcast or you have listened to other episodes and enjoyed those, it would mean the world to me if you could take a minute out of your day to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. This helps me get the show out to more people just like you who are out there trying to grow their own product-based business.